You know, they always get ready to play us. A lot of Florida kids on their team, and they play very well. And it's going to be a heck of a matchup for us coming off that long layoff, and we're going to have to play really, really well and have a chance to compete right there and play with them.
Going against a really good team. Can't tell you the job he's done. You know, Mark's done there is incredible.
Looking forward to a great opportunity to play a really well-coached, good football team, both sides of the ball, very explosive. Got a lot of respect for Coach Mellon and their program.
All right, Dan Mellon and company after a big win last week. Wow, a shock over LSU. They just punched him right in the mouth. They'll go between the hedges to take on Kirby Smart and Georgia. You heard from Jim McElwain. They own Kentucky. What has it been, 30 straight, I believe, over the Wildcats. And, of course, Jimbo Fisher. It has been 20 off days for the Noles. They missed two games because of Hurricane Irma. And here comes NC State. It was the one that I thought would be the ultimate trap game, the emotions after Miami. That is no longer the case. Instead, NC State has played in three consecutive weeks. The Noles have not played since that loss to Alabama. Let's bring in our friend Tim Brando, who typically joins us each and every Friday, but since I'll be on a plane tomorrow for London and Tim will be on a plane for Colorado, we get him here at 12:15 on this Wednesday. Timmy B, how are you?
Fantastic, Rick. Enjoy your trip across the pond. That's nice. And I know I'm going to have a great time. Rocky Mountain High, reenactment of the Pac-12 championship game a year ago. Both teams are undefeated. Washington is probably one of the favorites out west to have a shot at the college football playoff, and with their quarterback and with Dante Pettis, one of the most explosive return men in college football, we expect a great one on Saturday night. You might want to burn the candle late in the Eastern time zone because we'll be on at 10 Eastern time, 9 Central, but a game well worth watching. Spencer and Holly and I are looking forward to it.
Yeah, Folsom Field, what a game. I mean, UW ranked 7th in America. Going to Colorado, I often talk about that around here. I love the Pac-12, but, I mean, folks are up early. They get dive into the beer early before those noon starts and 3:30 starts. A lot of college football fans in the South, along the East Coast as well, they miss late-night Pac-12 football.
Yeah, they're going to get it this week. They're going to get it, and I think they're really going to enjoy it because it's a very important game in terms of the way the Pac-12 is setting up. McIntyre's team, of course, made tremendous headway a year ago. Their offense has been not as good this season as it was at this time last year. But I do think they're a really good matchup. And you got a revenge factor in play. Washington is, a team that with I think Jake is one of the really there are a lot of unheralded quarterbacks out there. I think Browning is sort of one of them. I think the other one is in a game that we're going to talk about a little bit later, and that's Fitzgerald at Mississippi State. I don't think you can ignore now what that kid has done, and he seems to be on a path very similar to that of Dak Prescott if Mississippi State can continue to win. So, you know, everybody thinks about and talks about separation for Mayfield and Darnold and Lamar Jackson. But I think there are a lot of guys out there. Mason Rudolph at Oklahoma State is certainly another one. They get a test with TCU. That's an intriguing game to me because I think TCU defensively is back, and Gary Patterson's team really shut down Arkansas every which way. And if Oklahoma State can pound and put on numbers similar to what they did against Pitt against TCU, it's going to catch a lot of people's attention. And we'll start talking about him as much as maybe we're talking about Mayfield out of the Big 12.
Let's get into Mississippi State here. Off to a great start. They're scoring both in the air and on the ground. If you were to say to me that they would have knocked off LSU last Saturday night, okay, I would have bought it. But if you would have said to me they would have destroyed them 37-7, no, I did not see that coming. Your thoughts there and then them going in between the hedges at 7 o'clock on Saturday night.
Don't get too caught up on the score differential because LSU imploded in a lot of ways. You know, they had two touchdowns called back for offensive interference. They had a couple of targeting calls that extended drives. But Mississippi State did thoroughly dominate them physically. And that's what you need to pay attention to, is what you see in terms of the way Williams was able to run the ball and then what Fitzgerald did both in the air and on the ground. Because the one thing that you would normally say about LSU is that their secondary is ordinarily even if it's young this year, and it is young, they're usually very good. BYU didn't get past the 50-yard line on them. And now I know BYU is not the greatest team, but they're usually gifted enough to get past midfield. They did it against Wisconsin. So I'm one of those that believes that Mississippi State is better than advertised, because typically, like say Kansas State in the Big 12, Wisconsin in the Big 10, Mississippi State is consistently overlooked when they're really good. Even Dak's team that went to number one by week five or week six a few years ago, was not really thought of that much until after, you know, they just blew out Texas A&M at home on the same day Ole Miss was beating Alabama. And even then, Ole Miss, I think, got more run for beating Alabama than Mississippi State did. So this is, you know, you got to give Dan Mullen a lot of credit. He, about every third or fourth year, just takes the guys that he's developed, largely his juniors and seniors, and then plugs in some junior college and fifth-year transfers and makes them a solid team. Georgia, in my estimation, is riding high off what they're calling, or at least their fans are calling, a win for the ages against what was a 4-8 Notre Dame team a year ago. Now, I'm impressed with the fact that Georgia's crowd went in and took over Notre Dame Stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm not terribly impressed with that win over Notre Dame. Don't ask me to be, because I'm not.
Right.
Now, if those two backs play to their potential, then we're looking at a great game. Fromm seems to be the guy. I mean, the fact that he went in there as a freshman, did what he did, is somewhat impressive. Home field is probably the only thing that makes me lean in any direction in the game. And because Mississippi State is coming off a very important, maybe even emotional win for them. But I don't see, I think the number is like, what, a touchdown, 6.5, 7, something like that?
Yeah, actually down to 5, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, okay, I see the game much closer. I'm not surprised that it's moving closer to 3,
mm-hmm.
because I think Mississippi State will be in this game till the very last play.
Yeah.
It might even be an overtime game. I think the potential there for that is very good.
Is this a run and stop the run type of game for Mississippi State? Or
yeah,
I mean, I like what Jacob.
It's the ultimate line of scrimmage game. It's the ultimate line of scrimmage game, Rick. I mean, really, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but I've been asking, because there's a lot of Georgia fans here in Jacksonville as well throughout South Georgia. I've been wondering about this for quite some time. Does Georgia have receivers who will step up? And we start with Terry Godwin. Last week, also Javon Wims finally getting involved as a senior. So, you know, Fromm has found these wide receivers. Is that the difference in this game, a big play there? Or is it as simple as run, stop the run?
Well, it's run, stop the run. I do give, and one of the reasons I would pick Georgia to win a close game, I don't think we'd cover, but I think they can win a close game, is because they do have more playmakers on the edge, more receiving answers maybe than Mississippi State does. Not that they're bad. Mississippi State's overall offense, I think, is undervalued. But, yeah, I think the potential there for some big plays, more dynamic plays, and to me that means plays of over 20 yards. I tell you, put it this way. Let's say the team that has more plays that measure 20 yards plus wins this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I give Georgia a slight edge in that area. But again, not so much that I think they're going to run away with this game. I mean, not at all. I think Mississippi State is physical enough to stay with them and force them to pass to be successful.
Who is the second best team in the SEC right now today?
Well, you can make a case it's the winner of the Mississippi State-Georgia game.
Yeah.
I mean, that may be what they're playing for the rights to say at this stage, is after Alabama, what do you have? I got such a kick out of listening to Paul Feinbaum's show for about 40 minutes yesterday. I think I literally heard calls from every corridor of the country, Rick, in the SEC. And unless your name was Mullen, Kirby Smart, Saban, and Derek Mason and Mark Stoops, you might as well just start packing your bags right now.
No.
The other nine are all on the firing block.
Yeah, because you raised some...
Everybody's upset.
Yeah.
Everybody's upset.
Because you raised a few eyebrows last week when you said that Kentucky and South Carolina right now may be better overall than Tennessee in Florida. And after watching those two games.
I think Kentucky's going to beat Florida this week.
Do you really?
Yes, I do. Yeah, there's your upset special right there. And I don't think it's that big of an upset. Certainly, I don't think I don't think Vegas thinks it is either. What is it, like 2.5, 3?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Right. It's night
Kentucky's
game.
Kentucky's good, and they're due. Mm-hmm. Kentucky's good, and they're due. And Florida, in my mind, that was a great, wonderful way to end the game. It was an emotional victory, but you were still in the position you were in. And so I don't know that they've suddenly figured things out because they were able to get a Hail Mary, as our friend Brad Nessler called it. Great call, by the way, Hail Mary full of grace. Were it not for Hail Mary full of grace, they would have another L on their record.
Unbelievable.
So, wow. I like Kentucky in the game. I really do.
Tim Brando at Commonwealth Stadium on Saturday night likes Kentucky over Florida. Of course, Tim will have a huge game himself. UW going to Colorado. That'll be at 10 o'clock Eastern on Fox Sports 1. All right, Tim, let's get to Tallahassee now. I mean, Florida State hasn't played a game in 20 days. Obviously, they had some things to fix, particularly special teams, after the loss to Alabama. And the great unknown is James Blackman. You just don't know what to expect out of this young man because we haven't seen him outside of three handoffs late in that game against the Crimson Tide. NC State has one of the great rush defenses in the country. They have a quarterback who doesn't make mistakes and Ryan Finley offensively. How do you see this game in God's country?
I like North Carolina State and an upset again. I think they have played. I think their crispness will show. What is that old saying in coaching? You grow the most between weeks one and week two. By the way, that bet we had to put on hold between my Warhawks and your Seminoles, I guess we'll have to simmer for a while.
Mm-hmm.
but I think the fact that they haven't played, is a problem. I mean, live bullets, pardon the expression, matter to a freshman and somebody stepping into a position that's not been there. I know he's got great pedigree and is highly thought of. You don't play the position for Jimbo Fisher without having those kinds of accolades coming into Florida State. But, yeah, as you mentioned, North Carolina State's defense has been really, really good. And they're not shabby against the pass. They're just remarkably good against the run. And I know they feel like they let one get away earlier in the year. You know, I think everyone thought they would beat South Carolina, and they didn't. And so now they kind of need to right the ship. There's a lot at stake here for Doran. I just had his old team, Northern Illinois, beat Nebraska in Lincoln last week, which was one of the early shockers of Saturday afternoon. You know, his teams, just like the teams at Northern Illinois now, they don't lose games. You got to beat them. Now, they lost a game because of a kick, you know, a year ago that could have really made a big difference in the way the postseason played out at Clemson. But, I mean, they are capable. And I think this is one of those games where, you know, they come in and make a statement. Florida State, I think a lot of people believe now with this kid, they're not going to be any different than when DeAndre Francois was there. And you know, I'm sorry. I just don't see it. I see two major shockers in college football this week, and they're both in the state of Florida.
Tim Brando, Kentucky over Florida. He has NC State over Florida State. I mean, this game is tailor-made for Florida State to run the ball with a rookie quarterback against NC State. But again, they're so stout against the run. Unless Cam Akers really breaks out, and let's hope he's the guy, not Jacques Patrick, you're going to be asking this freshman, James Blackman, to make passes downfield.
Right. What we don't know, this kid could be the second coming of the greatest freshman we've ever seen. I don't know. But I'm just basing it on the personnel that's out there, what we do know about. And the fact that they have not played Florida State since that game with Alabama, that's a problem, okay? Getting your reps in, we're almost to the end of the month of September, Rick, and they've only got one game under them. It's unfortunate, and there were obviously reasons that were much greater than that of football that they couldn't play, that, you know, the football gods just weren't kind to them. And I'm not suggesting that Florida State might not right the ship and still have a really good ACC season. This is just the wrong team to be playing, in my opinion, at the wrong time. The one thing they got going for them is where the game's being played.
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, and I very well could be, it's going to be, I think, in large measure because they've got home field in this game.
I just wish you could take that intangible and move that nooner to about 7 o'clock at night. In my opinion, that would make a drastic difference.
Well, listen, I'm telling you, those early games, early window games, are usually trouble for the favored team. I saw it with Nebraska last week.
Yep.
They threw two pick sixes in the first half and could not overcome it. And that happens when you come out and your fan base. That's the other thing, Rick. I don't know why this stigma is attached. We've been playing big college football games at noon for centuries, okay? Michigan, Ohio State's a noon game. Texas, Oklahoma, the Red River rivalry is a noon game. But a lot of these kids, especially when they view the college football world in its currency, meaning that at noon we're supposed to be just watching Lee Corso take the mascot head off, put the mascot head on, and tell us who to watch. And if we're playing at noon, suddenly our game isn't as important. Well, that's a crock. All these games are important, and the players and the fans need to understand that there's only so much time in the clock during the day, and some of these big games have to be played at that hour.
Yeah, I'll be watching it in London, but I kind of foresee a late-arriving crowd at Bobby Bowden Field at high noon on Saturday.
Which plays right into NC State fans.
There's no question.
Right
hey,
into their hands.
Tim, let's wrap it up with the weekly Tim Brando flying the ointment game, please.
Well, anytime you have that incredible matchup between the two group of five powers in my home state that have hyphens, and I know my friends in Lafayette want to make sure that it's just Louisiana. Have you noticed that now graphically?
Yeah.
Even ESPN's putting up Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
No. Now that's propaganda.
Ah,
I'm sorry.
By those folks
it's
in
not
Bristol?
Louisiana. It's no. The school is requesting that they put Louisiana up, and the television executives and the people in power. I think we do it at our place too. But it's Louisiana Lafayette. I'm sorry. It's Louisiana Lafayette. And they're taking on University of Louisiana Monroe. And I like the 5-point dog Warhawks to get the job done against the Raging Cajuns. And by the way, Ooh La La played very good last week early in their game. Didn't hold on, but did play well early. So a lot of run being given to Louisiana Lafayette. But I think Matt Viator's Warhawks will get the job done.
Outstanding, Tim. Have a great call there. You, Spencer, and Holly, Colorado, hosting UW. And we'll pick it up next week.
Pot your fly of the ointment, don't ever forget it.
There he goes, Tim Brando, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.